being, you know, 2019, some of us may not even have pens. I didn't think that far ahead. But it will be fine, okay? I'm just going to spend a few minutes introducing, and then we're going to have a workshop in four sections. So, and the reason for that is that we're going to be talking about how to help the poor and needy. And I thought, rather than listening to something, I've already been asked up to Leicester, and there just explain, rather than me be coming and speaking, I really wanted them to think how the scriptures apply in their own lives, and that's what we did, and it actually went really well. People were very positive about it, so we're going to do a similar format today. Just a quick update. If you don't know me, I'm Rob Payne. I work for the charity Hope Worldwide, which the church set up and supports. I've been working there nearly 5 years now. I'm here with Katerina. 5 years, yeah, September 2014. With Katerina, my wife, and two children, yeah. Natalia, who's 5 and a half, and Daniel, who's nearly 3. He's going to start nursery in September, and Natalia started school this year. Some of you might remember that I was about just over 3 years ago, I finished treatment for leukemia, and thanks for all those who prayed. And I'm still in full remission, thank God, and healthy, which is good. Still get tired, but that's another story.
That's having two small children.
Yeah, part of that is it's lots of things, I think. I was explaining to someone just now, there's about four different reasons why I get tired. But anyway, yes, one of them is just getting older for us. And but yes, to prepare for this, I've been talking with Malcolm and especially Michelle, as I know that you've been considering how you can impact those in need in your local areas, and really what is God calling you to do? And that is a really important question, and it's really encouraging what you've done in the past, and we're supporting the great work in Zambia, and then more recently Nepal, and it's exciting to think that things are going to be happening locally as well. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures. We're going to be basing the first part on the parable of the Good Samaritan. And last time I came, I preached a sermon, What Does It Mean to Have Hope? And I preached about our eternal hope, which is a renewed creation, an anchor for the soul. And our response to that hope, which is to draw near to God, to encourage one another, and to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And the last point that I shared then was hope that leads to good deeds. And at the end of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, towards the end of Hebrews 10, it says, and let us consider how, which is what we're going to do today, how we may spur one another on and ourselves towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So my hope and prayer is that the workshop today will really help us put that scripture into practice as we consider for ourselves what it means to help those in need around us, and also how we can work together and maybe encourage and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And I think it's worth mentioning that the two-step program, which I now have the privilege of leading, has housed over 6,000 people since it began in about 26 years ago. But that began really as a grassroots thing. There were a lot of people living on the streets in London. There was a cardboard city. People didn't really know what to do. Two volunteers, JP and Walter Evans, went and slept on the streets themselves and spent 5 days and nights walking around and talking to lots of people, just understanding what was happening. Then other people did some research to figure out, much like Michelle's been doing, like what kind of things could we do? What is the need? What's already being done? And then they started to collect food and clothes, which in itself isn't that much. But then they're like, why can't we open our homes? And that was inspired by people that were in Bristol who'd done that. They'd taken 5 people off the streets into their own homes. And that was a small act, and it was fantastic for those 5, but it's only 5. But that inspired the people in London thinking, well, actually, we could do the same. And in a church of over 1,000, that had a massive impact. And then by working with lots of other organisations and working in partnership, and it's grown and it's grown and it's grown, so that now that all basically loads of single homeless in North London and East London are all referred to Two Step, and we've got many, many partnerships and links with landlords and letting agents, and we're able to house a lot of people. But it began with somebody thinking, surely we must do something, but I don't know what, but let's do something. And it's amazing how God uses those initial steps of faith. And so it'd be really amazing to see what kind of things can happen and what already people have done. And we just don't know, but we have to begin somewhere. And so it's really exciting to be here at that point. And Michelle's nodding, that's good. So I'm saying the right thing. So I said, I've had a good long conversation with Michelle. So I said, I don't want to come and then say things. And you saying, yeah, it was great you were here. Probably wish you hadn't said that. So we're all on the same page, I pray, okay? And if I'm not, then it's okay, we'll figure it out. Okay, so we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, and let me just get my notes here. And I've actually got it all printed out for you, but maybe I'll give that out in a minute. Because what I want you to do, do I have the clicker? Is there any, or I just nod, or what do I do? To change slides here. There we go. We're going to be looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to be asking some questions. Okay, and in fact, if you think about the story, it all happened very suddenly for people. They came along and there was a wounded man. I actually do need to... I want to dramatize this so that you remember it, okay? So I need somebody to be the poor, wounded individual who's... And I also need somebody to be the priest, okay? Do we have anyone in full-time supported church ministry here? Okay, so we get Malcolm first. Anyone in a leadership role in the church at all that's not paid, okay? So you could be the Levite, okay? And then after that, see, when Jesus told the parable, it was the priest, the Levite, then they would have expected a kind of law-observing Jew to be next in the story, but they didn't. They picked an outsider, someone who has kind of had, there was animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. I don't know if there's anyone here who's kind of opposed to Christians or maybe, probably not, unlikely, but was in their past. Is there anyone who perhaps was used to argue with Christians or used to provoke or, okay. So, if you wanted to be Michelle, the Good Samaritan, or if anyone else, so that, and we still need our poor victim. We're not going to beat you or take all your clothes off, but okay. But if someone wants to play the role, would you like to? You're keen. Okay, fantastic. Francois being volunteered and laughing nervously. Okay, so. We are going to do this, and what I want you to think about is what we learn from this parable regarding helping those in need. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to do a little introduction first, and if we can get the first bit. Okay. So it starts off on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, okay? And he asked them, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, what do we think about that question, okay? What must I do to inherit eternal life, okay? Can you do anything to inherit something? Could I go to my parents and do enough to be worthy of inheritance? Mm. That's not a good question to ask my father, would it, Dad? What can I do to inherit from you, Dad? He'd be like, what do you mean? So, Jesus, as typical with Jesus, answers his question with a question and says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And then he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay. So he's answered correctly. He's quoted Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, and he's given the same answer that Jesus himself gave in Matthew 22. So he answered correctly. But then he says he wanted to justify himself. Now, what does that mean? It means he wanted to kind of be worthy or to gain acceptance from God on his own merit. And to be able to do that with a very legalistic mindset, he's saying, well, exactly who is my neighbour? Okay, so if I know who I need to love this way and who I don't, then maybe I can do it, okay? And now, do we all agree that the greatest commandments, so let's put our hands up, okay, we'll get a bit interactive. Who agrees that the greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself? Do can I get the hands up? Okay, I think everyone's put their hands up, okay? Keep your hands up if, based on those commandments, and which one of us has obeyed them so well that we've lived a good enough life to be right with God on our own merit? How many of us have loved God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength every day and loved our neighbour as we love ourselves? Okay? Okay? I think we're all mentally healthy. That's good. Okay? There's nobody suffering from delusions. So none of us is able to, and that's why. And I think this is an important thing to say, because I think that this kind of workshop, when we look at all the massive needs in the world, in a way you can never do enough, and none of us is Jesus. And what I don't want to do is come here and people feel that are already quite busy in their lives, and everything is to feel guilted out and pressured that I need to do more. Okay? Because that was his question. What do I need to do? Okay? And it's not so much about what we do, it is about our hearts, but what we do does reflect our hearts. And that we can't do enough to deserve an eternal inheritance from God. We have that based on grace, based on faith, and what Jesus has done. And you can read Romans 3-5 all about that. However, on the flip side, that we're not to get complacent, and we are to make every effort. Jesus says in Luke 13, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. So there is that making every effort, and there's also grace. And so we've kind of thought a little bit about this, kind of set some parameters here. And you can read the whole book of Luke. It's all about helping the poor. When I've been here before and preached from Luke 4, where Jesus said, I came to bring good news to the poor. And that whole running up from there to Luke 10, Jesus heals the 5,000. He calls his disciples and sends them out to heal the sick. And he's gathering this movement, and he's healing, and he's even raising people from the dead. And then he even passes through a Samaritan village, and they didn't welcome him and his disciples, and that's an interesting twist. But we get to this point, and he tells this parable. Okay, so at this point, we need our victim to come. I mean, fighting over, you did want to do it, okay. So, you are close to the front. So, okay, so if there was a whole mob, if you could gather this whole mob, we won't do that. Okay, he gets beaten up, strip all his bones, come off. Lie on the floor, thank you. So, okay, victim, okay. Now, so this is the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, okay. Now, a priest, okay, he's finished, he would have, come on Malcolm the priest, he would have finished his duties in Jerusalem, where he's been serving at the temple, and then he's going down to Jericho, maybe that's where he lives, and he sees, and so it says, so Jesus asked a question. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side.
How could you, Mark?
Okay? Okay? He passed by on the other side, okay? Now, he may have had his reasons, his rationalizations. If he touched a dead body, that would make him ceremonially unclean. He'd have to go all the way back to Jerusalem, take cleansing rites for a week, all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, he didn't help, okay? He didn't look even into it. Okay, so then what happens next? So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. Okay, so our Levite, okay, he's following down. Maybe he even knew that.
Yes.
So the priest has decided, according to the law, he didn't have to do anything. The Levite's saying, well, who am I? I'm just a humble Levite, and the professional's gone by and he's done nothing, so why should I, perhaps? Okay? And then, as we said, we might expect the, you know, just the honourable, you know, ordinary Jewish person of the day to come by, and they'd be the hero of the story. But it's not. It's actually the Samaritan. And I can't remember who's our hero.
France.
Okay, I was booking Mohan. Oh, Michelle's going to do it. Okay. Oh, she's volunteered. Well done. Okay. So Mohan is, were you born in this country, Mohan?
No.
Okay, so you kind of, you know, we're representing here the foreign-born hero of the story, okay? The Samaritan. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. Okay, now you, in your very... We don't have to take it, use it. But, okay, we'll get on to that later. And took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds. Okay, you can just imagine all of this, pouring on oil and wine. I was tempted, but I thought it's going to get messy. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So this is the bit that we're thinking about. Okay. Does anyone want to be a donkey? Okay. No. Okay. No taken. I'm thinking about it. Okay. On his own donkey. Well done. Fantastic. Brought him to an inn. Okay. We can actually quite represent the inn quite well. Okay. Fantastic. Round of applause there. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Michelle. And you can give the first aid kit back to Katerina. That's quite odd. That's fine. Where are we? And it says the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." And then he said, going back to the question, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hand of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And then Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Okay, the expert in the law couldn't bring himself probably to even say the Samaritan, so he just kind of said, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus challenged him to go and do likewise. Okay, if you ask Jesus that kind of question, "What must I do?" Jesus said this, who of us have ever done something so amazing as that? Found someone nearly dead, taken them, healed things ourselves, taken them to an inn, stayed the night, looked after them again, okay, then given some money, then said we're going to come back. I mean, it's and not to mention the risk, okay, he could have been attacked himself, going into a Jewish town with a Samaritan on the back of his, what's going on. There's all sorts in there. You could read a fantastic book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, that we've shared a lot that parable, but let's just get practical now, okay? But it's a really inspiring story, and we know it's an inspiring story because it's come. Yes, please do. So if we can help pass these out, that would be great. So it's an inspiring story because how many of us have heard of a charity called the Samaritan?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's set up. How many of us have heard the phrase "the Good Samaritan"? Our common understanding because it's such a great story and it has such power. So people understand that phrase. Okay, so what I want us to do now is to think about what do we learn from this parable regarding helping those in need. Okay, and I've given you a nice space there to write it down. Okay, and so just think about what the Samaritan showed. Okay, I was a teacher for 10 years. Okay, and one of the things they said is you've got to give people thinking time. Okay, and you might have a bit of uncomfortable silence, but that's okay. All right. So thinking for maybe 2-3 minutes. Write a few notes, and then we'll take a few responses, and that'll be great. Okay. I've got a couple of pens if anyone really needs one.
Yes, please.
Okay. I've got some more in my bag.
This looks familiar.
Thinking first, conferring next. That's the anyone need help?
Yeah, I've got pen.
So yeah, I did want to, I know it's... We haven't talked about this. First one. So any responses now? So you can talk about it now that you've had a bit of a chance to think.
In his course of business.
Yes, that's fantastic. So he was ready to help someone. Brilliant. Anything else? Yes, Mark?
There's usually a cost involved in some way, either it's your time, your money, your energy. So, you've got to be prepared to take that leap of faith.
Sacrifice, yes. Thank you. Yes. Nico?
I think what God wants each one of us to help and wherever it is. But it's also just doing whatever it takes or going out of our comfort zone is often the case.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I think I would naturally think about the fears involved in helping somebody like this. So what if they were, kind of tricking and just pretending and then I got attacked and I'm on my own?
Yes.
But I think there's a sense of laying aside that fear, your personal fears, just to be compassionate.
Yes.
And I think fear can kill compassion.
Mm. Yes, definitely. Yes, absolutely. There's a risk. There's always an element of risk. Yes.
Just the extent to, the extent of his help. Like, he didn't just bandage him up or ask him if he's, he really took him to the end, and then after that he still kept caring for him and asking him, gave him money to even go further. And so just the extent to which he helped.
I know.
Fully wanted to see him through,
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Okay, one more. There was some over here. Sorry, sunglasses. I don't know.
I just think that we can come up with all of excuses, but here, this guy never came up with any excuses. Mm. And it didn't matter his background or who he was. He just helped, and that was all he was focusing on.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, this is what, these are some of the ones, some of these have been shared already. It's interesting in the context that Jesus puts loving God as the greatest commandment and then loving your neighbour. And we need the love we show to others comes from our understanding of the love God has for us. And also our love for God is really important. Otherwise, if we just give, then we just totally burn out. And, maybe the Samaritan might not have even been, may have helped other people and they weren't grateful, things like that. Showing mercy is key, using what we have, as said. So that's why I brought along the first aid kit, which now we have in our car. It's kind of there if you need it. So having things, being able to help. And what I love about this story, he took him to an inn, and so he didn't, and then he left and gave the money to the innkeeper. So he didn't carry on, it didn't take 2 weeks out of his life. He then took him somewhere else where he could get help. And that's really important. I live in London and walk past homeless people. I know where they can go to get help if it's not with the two-step program, and that's really, really helpful. And sometimes people don't know where the local help is, so that's really good. And then also follow up. He said, "I will come back." Okay, he didn't just leave him there. He and that consistency. Sometimes it's not just one thing. Sometimes people need support on an ongoing kind of basis, and that relationship, knowing that someone cares. So there's all sorts there. Okay. Now, the next part is, and because of time, we've only got slightly less than half an hour in total for these three parts. But it says, read the following quotes and underline or highlight the parts that speak to you the most. So this is a beginning, okay? This workshop is part of a process. I don't expect to cover everything today. But I would, part of the reason I'm giving you a handout so that you can take it away and reflect and pray and think about these things. So again, a few minutes, just look at some of those quotes. Some are from the Bible, obviously the initial ones are. And then there's some quotes from other people as well. And so the question is, what speaks to you the most? What stands out to you the most? And then how do they challenge or inspire or encourage you? Okay. So again, a couple of minutes reading and then reflecting. And then again, we'll take some feedback. Right. Okay. Well, it looked like people were thinking, okay, and it looked like it's connected. I certainly found it challenging and helpful. I mean, there's quite a few things that stood out for me. One of it was, it talked quite a bit about defending the rights and the cause of the needy, okay, and that's speaking up for people. There's a lot of people who, they need someone to stand up for them, because it's not just about giving people things. Sometimes it's about being with them, fighting their corner. And helping them to get the help that they need. It also talks about being kind to the poor. Okay, and again, it's making me think about that human connection. It's sometimes, you know, we give money to things, but to be kind implies it really needs to be some kind of human connection there. And that often when people are in a need, that it's not so much. I mean, I've been in times where I've not given them anything materially. But I've listened and I've been able to hear what they're saying and maybe give them some encouragement and some advice or just listen. And now that in itself is helpful. I'm going to just share this video, okay? This is a video of someone who was housed just over a year ago. And he was housed because of an act of kindness. He'd been homeless for a couple of years. He walked into a cafe. He'd been praying to me through Christians. He walked into a cafe in West London, and one of the disciples, one of the members of the church in West London, was there reading his Bible. And Curtis came up to him and started talking. He said, "Sit down." And they talked. And then through that, George introduced him to a Christian who works for Two Step, and he ended up being housed. But this is his story. And or some of it, and he talked about the impact of meeting someone who helped him and good in the world.
Who's the speaker?
Music is definitely something I'm very passionate about, and I think I relate to that. I like writing music as well, and I like dancing. I became homeless. Beginning of summer, I was in the transition of going to be transferred to another branch of my job. The way that things turned around, where I became depressed, and it was overwhelming me, so I went into hospital. And during the course of that time, when I was in hospital, I was told that I would lose my place, so I became evicted, and I had nowhere, I had nothing, no one, no connections, no family, nothing, no one to help me. So. The hospital that I was in said that they could help me. Basically, they advised me to go to the borough council just to see if I could get put in a housing list. And I was told that I didn't fit the criteria. It was like some bad nightmare I was having. At times, I didn't want to live, but I had to kind of persevere and try to get through each night. Every sound that something makes, or you know what I mean, you're so alert, you can't even hardly sleep. The turning point was knowing that there are still good people in the world, that there is people willing to help you. Yeah, the community, being part of church, has really, really helped me understand that I'm not alone. And I've been able to heal a lot more from my emotional hurts by sharing what I've gone through with others who understand and have really given themselves up, sacrificed their time, you know, to support me, which I found was really, really comforting. And that's what I was trying to be thankful for. And that's what gave me the hope to keep persevering.
The canvas here and the map.
That's that's when I was introduced to Hope Worldwide, which helped me get on the process of getting me rehabilitated and getting me housed. Where I met the guy who introduced me to Hope Worldwide was in a cafe called Esquire's Cafe in Shepherd's Bush, and that was the place that I now do open mic. For me, you know, the man came in and, you know, he helped me get rehabilitated. And so, yeah, I now perform there constantly every week. My dreams is to inspire other people. I would like to pursue the musical career because I believe in trying to aspire to do something. I now can understand how it feels when I see a homeless person, you know, and try to share knowledge with other people, and to try to see if I can help them in any other way, you know what I mean, than walking by somebody. Because you can have everything, one, you know, you can be at a certain point in your life and then it can be all taken away from you. And I think you or I or anybody, it can happen to anybody.
Look back, whatever you did, you undo, and be as heaven and devil only 2 times 2.
Curtis now volunteers with us, which is great, and he was baptised about a year ago. He's been through his ups and downs, as you know, we all have, but now he's part of a spiritual community, obviously the church, and there's people there to help him, which we all need, as Harry was sharing about earlier, that we all have different life events that happen, and I think we're really blessed as Christians to have this family of believers. But for those that don't, and that don't have physical family, then it really, those life events can send people on a downward spiral that they can often not recover from it, unless there's someone to help, which is, maybe that's where we're going to come in. I say we in this room. So that kind of leads on to the next part, which says, reflect on the gifts, strengths and resources you have and how they could be used to help others. So there it talks about the spiritual gifts. Obviously, in the story, the Samaritan, he had oil. He had a donkey, he had wine, he had something to bandage with. He had the knowledge of an inn, and he had some money to go there. And so he had all these things that he could use. And we're all different. And so we don't have much time. So this is something you can continue. But as it says there at the bottom of this section now, part two, is we all have different gifts, strengths and resources. Write down those that you have and how they could be used to help others below. And once you've thought about part two, then part three is really what do you think God is calling you to do in response to what we have covered today? So that's on the last page. That will be different for all of us. And the you there, I mean, we tend to read in our Western culture, you is you, you know, I am, you know, with my iPhone, you biblically is generally more collectively. So it's both, okay? So it could be you and the group, the small group that you're part of, you and the location service you're part of, you and Thames Valley Church, you and maybe the people of your workplace, you and the people in your neighbourhood. I don't really know, obviously, but what do you think God is calling you from His Word? Okay, maybe things He's put on your heart, maybe things that people have said to you recently, maybe things that have happened, lots of different things. What do you think God is calling you to do individually, collectively, in response to what we have covered today? To help with that, we're going to play a song.
Try something else instead of this.
So I looked up songs to do with helping the poor and Christian songs, and this one. One of the ones that came up, and it's called Do Something, which I think is a great title. Sometimes we don't know what we do. I go through this rationalization of, oh yeah, but it's only small, what difference will it make? But the point is, you do something and start.
Let's just see if that's going to work.
Okay. The last part three, okay, and then that's going to be the end. I'm going to hand out some feedback forms, and then we're going to have a final song. Don't be distracted by the words, though. Okay, I just asked Malcolm what we do right now, and we thought we'd have time for feedback or maybe some questions from the workshop. So this we're going to do this again. I'm going to do this again in North London, and I'd love to have any thoughts, feedback, questions, anything from today. Yes.
Absolutely.
You know,
we have people that are displaced, they have no homes, And Christians should not be the ones going, yes, yes, we'll just trust God. We have to trust God. But we must. Mm-hmm. So I think I've noticed that that's kind of lit a bit of a fire in me today. And I feel very good about that. So really do thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's great. I just want to share very quickly that there's been a change in the law a year ago called the Homelessness Reduction Act. And that happened because of Bob Blackman MP, who actually started off visiting a local Christian night shelter project in his neighbouring constituency and hearing people's stories. And then a lot of the homeless charities, many of which were started up by Christians, that's another story. So the changes happen, partly about speaking to those in power and showing them of good that is being done and can be done. Or speaking up for those that need it. So yes, great point, thank you.
I love the connection between what we're able to give, because we all give differently, but tying that to gifts that we have, which is incredible, because God has gifted all of us differently. God has not left anyone without a gift. So we all have something. And even in the video, it was laugh, shine, some things that we maybe don't give enough importance, because they go, what would that do? But actually, laughing with somebody who's mourning, maybe grieving, deciding I'm going to be a light wherever I am. And I think for me, just something today is not one person can do it all on their own.
Yes.
So it's quite powerful to draw people in. There's a need here. Mother Teresa said, people are in need, hungry for love.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to think, yeah, we'll feed them and kind of walk on, but the depth of hunger for love in the communities that we live in is so overwhelming. But if we draw people in, hey, let's kind of get together, host a dinner for women who've just lost husbands, I don't know, something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very impacting to do it together. So
that's great. Thank you.
There is so much need.
Absolutely. Thank you. Harry?
Just a bit of feedback on the workshop. Again, thank you so much. The good news was tremendously powerful. I mean, just the content through that. Starting with just a reminder of the story of Two Step, which is where I started. What are you doing now? The video, just hearing from in person.
Yeah.
Incredibly impressive. It's easy to kind of think, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
When you actually see the video, you see the results of it, that's really inspiring.
Great, thank you. Jean?
I think it's recently, I find it quite challenging with, it's my personal reflection on this, because we can be very servant to the community with homeless, but sometimes I feel quite guilty at your brothers and sisters needs the church as well. So I think what some of John is doing is really inspiring me. As well, not only being able to serve the homeless and community, but also being very aware of even we're Christians, but we also have our challenges that it might be also quite helpful to be mindful of each other's needs. And because I find it very sad for myself that I sometimes give time to serve other people, but I suddenly realize that brothers and sisters just sitting around me that they have great needs, financial needs, health needs that I ignore. So I think probably not just doing the great thing that very visible to everyone, but also someone that's around us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. In Galatians 6 it talks about do good to all people, especially those that belong to the family of believers. So yeah, it's great. last one, I think. And then,
Something I just think was really helpful about the way you structured it was, in every step, you gave so much for like a range of people to relate to. So by the end, there's not just one message, I guess, or one thing to inspire like, I don't know, 50 people. There was like things throughout that different people could be inspired by. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, just found it really relatable. Like, I could pick something from each stage and be like, whoa, this is inspiring for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. That's really good to hear. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. And if you have anything else, just please come and say. Or my email is at the back there as well. So if you later, and obviously do talk to Michelle about all the things that are stirring up in your hearts, and look forward to hearing great news. Thank you.
Thank you.